Yes, it's the Johnny Hero Show here on U105, and that was some snippets from the new album by Chris Norman, There and Back. Chris, how you doing?
Very well, thank you, Johnny. Yeah.
Here. I don't know. I mean, if you, you know, treat this as just sheer sycophancy, that's the best thing you've done in years, this album.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you very much.
No,
that's,
I mean, it sounds like you've really, really taken time on this. You know, the production even, it just sounds great.
Great, that's great. Well, you know, I just, I felt it was time I did another album with original songs. And this time I decided to use my touring band and go in the studio and record it as close to live as possible, you know. So we just all sat there and with eye contact and put the tracks down, you know, and try to keep it as close to sounding like a band as I could.
Yeah, it really comes across. But I suppose that with that, you can do that approach, play as live as you can with when you've got a real band of great musicians around you, you know, and you're used to doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got a great band, you know, that I'm lucky to have this band that's been with me for quite a few years now, since I've been more or less my whole solo career, most of it. And but you know, that's the way we used to record with Smokey in the old days. That was the only way to record, go in and play, you know, that's how you did it. And a lot of times you don't do that now, and it's a really great way of recording because you get much more input from everybody that way.
Yeah, I mean, I've recorded a few things myself, and when you're doing it in separate takes, you sort of lose some of the spirit or some of the vibe.
Absolutely.
Really, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you'd put in, it's all overdubs, and you say, well, let's do this now, and then somebody says, play this part. And somebody plays a part, and there's nothing inspirational about it because they're just playing a part. But if you're doing it with a bunch of, you work off each other. So if somebody does something, somebody else might do something that they wouldn't have done otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
So it's great. I love that.
Yeah. Listen, your voice sounds great as well.
Thank you very much.
Have you been doing, I mean, I don't know, have you been doing anything? Because a lot of, I mean, let's face it, your peers from 70s and 80s, the voices have come and they've gone, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, well, I've been working because, you know, I started solo career in the 80s when I left Smokey in 86. And I had a big success in Germany and then in Europe with records and everything. And I've been touring and stuff pretty much nonstop since the 90s anyway. And I do a lot of gigs and a lot of touring. And, so I guess it's practice. And if you keep your voice in shape by doing it, you know. So thank you for that. It has changed a bit, I guess, because, you know, you get older, it's maybe, but I can still, we still do the Smokey stuff live, you know, and I can still sing all the stuff I always sang before. So I guess it's not that different.
Yeah, no, it sounds terrific. I mean, and you've mentioned Smokey a couple of times. I wasn't going to mention Smokey. Well, I was going to try not to, but, you know, the Smokey fans who may not be familiar with your solo material will love this album. There is a kind of, you know, maybe a retro Smokey sound in some of the tracks, you know.
Yeah.
I tend to say classic Smokey sound.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope so. I mean, I don't try and avoid it, you know. I never avoid the talking about it because it was a crucial part of my career. I was with the band for a long time and we had a lot of success, and it was that started everything off for me. I wouldn't have been able to do anything if I hadn't have had that success in the first place. So, yeah, and when I'm recording, I mean, not everything, sometimes it's recorded in a different way and everything, but if I think something sounds a bit Smokeyish, I don't sort of go, oh, I have to do this again, you know. I think, no, it's fine, just leave it. It's, you know, it's got more modern sound probably, but it's, you know, if it's got a feel of that, that's all right. You know, it's part of my history.
Yeah, no, that's a great attitude, because some artists might get precious, oh, that's a part of my history and I want to bury it. You know, this is what I do now, but you're willing to embrace the stuff that sort of was very, very popular.
Yeah, well, you know, I enjoyed that period, you know, so why should I be worried about it? You know?
Yeah. Your success in Germany is a bit of a conundrum. I mean, this reminds me of The Suite. When The Suite were on the wane, they couldn't get arrested in England. Yet number one albums in Germany and sold out concerts in Germany. Have you found that your success sort of on the continent has never waned?
Yeah, it's a strange thing. I don't know why. There is a certain thing like that. I mean, when I went solo and I had my first hit, it was in Germany. And then I had a lot of success and stuff. You know, in a lot of parts of Europe, it's like that. It's not just Germany, you know. And I play all the time and I've been doing like concert tours of Germany of my own. You know, every time I get a new album out, every couple of years, I go and do a concert tour all over. And I've got Russia and Scandinavia and all over the place. It's different. You know, I don't know why that is. And yet in the UK, really, as a solo artist, I'm pretty much unheard of, you know.
Yeah, no, the UK concert audiences, it seem very fickle. They're too hung up about what's in the chart at the moment, Maybe. Yeah. Whereas, I mean, and I've seen gigs in Austria and Greece and everywhere else, and people just appreciate it. If it's good, it's good. End of story, you know?
That's right, yeah, yeah. And I think it's to do with agents and promoters too. In Europe, you get more people want to take people who've been around longer, and because they know there's an audience still out there for them. But I think in the UK, they don't do that so much. They don't want to take risks and stuff like that.
Yeah, it tends to revolve here with promoters around flavor of the month, something
that's
they
right.
can sell immediately. And you know, yeah. that you know, forget what you did in the past. That's in the past, and it's a terrible attitude, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, so there's no chance of you coming over here to play live then with the new album, because I know the Smokey fans are going to be on, you know.
Yeah, well, that would be something I'd like to do. You know, my management and agency and that are preparing tours for all kinds of places. I've got tours booked already for March in Germany and all stuff. But it really depends on trying to build my profile up in the UK. And if this record gets played and if people start to take notice of it, then obviously that would help. And then if that happened, then yes, for sure, I'll be here as like a shot. I'd love to play everywhere in the UK.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't happen, it's in the lap of the gods, because, you know, when I go on tour, I've got like 12 people on the road, you know, the road crew, band and everything. And there's a certain amount of expenditure needs to be, you know, to do that. And I can do that in Europe, but whether I could do it in the UK, unless I can sell tickets, it's one of those. We have to wait and see.
Does it sadden you that you have to admit this to yourself? You have to concede that in your home turf, you know, that's where you struggle maybe?
Well, I'm kind of used to it because, you know, I mean, I've been having this solo career, which has been pretty successful in other parts for quite a long time. And a long time ago, I resigned myself to the fact that it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to do that in the UK, because I tried a few times. But I don't stop. You know, I mean, I don't do it that often. But this is like the latest version of me trying to see if I can still, even at this late stage in my career, you know, revive people's, interest in me. So we'll see.
Well, I have to tell you, Chris, that if this was one giant concerted effort, for me, it has worked. It's the best thing I've heard you do in 20 years, seriously.
Thank you very much. That's great.
And we're going to play the single now, Gypsy Queen, which is tremendous as well. I love this. I mean,
thank you very much.
Were these songs that you were holding on to and saving them up for a big effort like this?
Not really. I recorded the album last year, the end of last year, and I really started writing for it about 6 months before that. I mean, I might have had the odd song idea on my iPhone or something that I went back to, but most of it was written, you know, like 6 months before that I recorded it. And I think I was just ready for... I hadn't done it for a while, so I was kind of ready for writing again, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're very, very busy. Chris, thanks a lot, mate. See you again. Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks very much. She looks at me and I hear her sigh. Where do you go, my gypsy queen? And I hear her voice as she starts to sing, with a haunting tune of a lover's ring. Oh, play that song, my gypsy queen. Yeah. With a haunting tune of a lover's ring, oh, play that song, my gypsy.
There's a golden rose in the dead of night. When she looks at me and I hear her sigh, where do you go, my gypsy queen? And I hear her voice as she starts to sing, with the haunting tune of a lover's ring. Oh, play that song